If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a Man podcast, mailbag edition. Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here, and Tyler writes in, says, I love the podcast. I wanted to ask your opinion on two draftable players the Commanders could take. The first is wide receiver Trey Harris, who is a big receiver with downfield ability who dominated for Ole Miss when healthy. The other is Amen Hassanayin, the defensive end from Boise State. 6'2", 272 with good pass rush ability. He came to the U.S. from Egypt, so he was late to playing football. I think he could be a good day three addition to the defense. Looking forward to hearing your opinion. Thanks. We're just talking receivers, Logan. So let's start with Trey Harris. And then I'm very intrigued to hear your thoughts on Hassanayin, especially considering we know, for instance, last year with Brandon Coleman, a guy that was late to football. We know that Adam Peters sometimes looks at that ceiling upside of a guy who has plenty of more room to grow because he's not quite as experienced. But what's the book on Trey Harris first as we look at some potential receiver options for the Commanders?
Yeah, Trey Harris is probably the more interesting of the two for me personally. And again, because he's a big body guy. He's like 6'3", he's like 210, 215, and he plays in this Ole Miss offense, you know, helmed by, who's the offensive coordinator there?
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin, that's right. And he there's just a lot of space. He runs a lot of hitches, runs a lot of posts. Think about like your DK Metcalf route tree from when he was coming out where it's like, I'm going to run a go, I'm going to run a post, I'm going to run a hitch. And so there is a lot of like, I'm bigger and more physical than you, and I'm going to win this ball down the field. And I do have some vertical horsepower to run and kind of get open and do some things down like that. The thing that I come back to, I love big receivers. I absolutely love them. But like, just because we just talked about Julio, we just talked about route running, there is a little bit of nuance that you need to see from that position. And if you can't start and stop, if you can't get out of your cuts, like you can't just out big everybody all the time, you know. And I think that's where with him, where I'm a little bit on the fence, because again, like, it's not his fault, it's just the offense they were in. Like, I went through every one of his targets and everyone, and so you do occasionally see him run a really nice dig, which to me is like one of those routes that kind of shows a little bit of nuance. I got to decelerate, I got to work a stem, and it looks good, right? And he can catch the football well. He's not a super natural catcher of the football. Like, there's certain guys where it's just like, there's like Tetro McMillan's a good example. It's just like Velcro in their hands, like they can just catch it. I'm not saying Trey Harris is bad at that, I'm just saying that's not like his superpower. So the thing that gets me is like, do you have enough size and physicality to make that play at the next level? Like, so another example is like Tyler Warren from Penn State. Like, his college film is tremendous, right? But he outbigs a lot of people. Like, he's just bigger, like, and stronger than a lot of people. In the NFL, everyone's big and strong. Does that still play? And that's kind of the same question I have with Trey Harris, right? Is can you be bigger and stronger at the NFL level when you're big and strong in college, but it's not like dominantly big and strong? And so that's where it's like, is he an impressive athlete? Yes. Would he be interesting at like 61? Probably for the Commanders. But I do have questions about his game. And again, like, if I'm picking you in the second round, there's questions about everyone's game, like Jaden Higgins, right? Can you truly play outside receiver. You played mostly slot in college, right? You know, Jalen Noel from Iowa State. Like, can you be more consistent? Can you play bigger than your frame? Like, there's all these questions with everybody, but those are my questions with Trey Harris. I would be interested if the Commanders made that selection at 61, because he's big and he's fast. It's just, is that nuance, is that kind of top shelf physicality there for him? And the question is, I don't know, but interesting at 61, probably.
Yeah, he's big and he's fast, but he's not huge or blazing. He ran 4.54 at the combine. He's listed 6'2", 205 on NFL.com's profile. He's 6'3", 210 on PFF. So I'm guessing PFF's number is what Ole Miss gave him, and the NFL's number is what he actually measured in at. So that does feel significant. So it's not like, you know, and look, I feel like anytime I talk about DK, people are like, but you hate DK. And I'm like, I don't. I just didn't want him here for the point is, like, he's not DK, right? DK is 6'4", even if he doesn't play like it, and he is 225, and he is 4.3 fast. That is not who Trey Harris is. So if you're trying to big body people, but you're also don't have the speed, or your body's not that much bigger than a lot of these DBs right now, who got guys who are like 6'1", 190, 195, then that does become, I think, a real question. All right, Ahmed Hassanayin, Boise State. I got no file on him. I learned about him when this question came up. So this is all you, but I am intrigued by the story. That's for this. This is a guy that I wish we were actually talking about him next week, because then the beast would be out, because Dane would have some incredible story in it. So maybe we'll ask Dane about him on Thursday. Maybe not. But what's your read on him?
Yeah, so I really enjoy watching him. You know, he's a fun watch. He kind of plays like a 4-5 technique, so like kind of right over the nose of the tackle. And he plays hard. You can tell he loves football. You can just tell he absolutely loves the game. He plays hard. He's finishing the ball almost every play. Like, he just is passionate about it. The problem with him is he's 6'1", he's 267. So a little undersized to kind of play interior defensive line at the NFL level, right? Which is kind of what that 4-eye position is. Like, when you think about a traditional 4-eye, you're talking like 6'4", 6'5", like 290 to 310. And like, he doesn't really fit in that mold. So to me, he's got to kick out, right? So he'd have to kick to like a true 5 technique, 6 technique. Trying to think of a good example. In our defense, it's kind of like Cleveland Farrell, like that type of guy, right? The problem is, like, he's not a plus athlete. He is kind of an athlete that fits more the mold of a traditional 4-eye. Like, he's ran a 4.87 at the combine. His jumps were just okay. Like, when you watch his field work, his bend is fine. Like, he's, again, like the football player, the passion, the motivation, the physicality, it's there. And so when you say, oh, like, what's his role here if he were to come to Washington? Yeah, I think he'd be a rotational guy that is kind of like Karloftis in Kansas City. And Karloftis is a much better athlete, but a guy that's never going to generate a ton of pressure on his own, but is going to kind of get cleanup sacks. And you need kind of to complement somebody who's an elite pass rusher. You know, Karloftis compliments Chris Jones, right? Like, that's kind of what it would need to be here. And he's not a guy that's going to kind of generate on his own, because he lacks the athletic upside. But in terms of liking the film, like, I really like the film. And if they signed him like in the 5th round, 6th round, 7th round to come here, like, I would be excited, because it's like, he loves playing football. He's physical. And he'd have to kind of be a guy that, you know, is bottom half of the roster, maybe practice squad guy that has special teams value. And because of his, it's obvious. Like, at the combine, they did a feature on it. Like, you know, like, when I'm watching the drills, he's getting ready to do a drill and he's just like, so juiced up. He's screaming at the D-line coach. Like, he's just excited. Like, let's go, you know, like, and I love that. I love that person. Yeah. And so I'm going to bet on that person to make an NFL roster. I think the problem with a guy late is there are other guys that are, you could get late that have more athletic upside. And I think that's where you kind of run into a weird thing with Hassanayin, you know?
Yeah. So I think that it goes back to what we talked about with Jeremy on kind of the peeling back the layers of the onion, and every layer you peel back is like a down round grade. Yeah. And it's like, okay, for him, the idea of taking someone who hasn't been playing football that long often is they're a great athlete. And it's like, God, if we could mold this guy into a football player. And for him, not having that athletic upside feels like it's definitely going to peel away multiple layers almost at once. And so I think that's the hard sell for him. But if he's got the passion and you said the work ethic and all that stuff shows up and he's going to light up interviews and guys are just gonna be like, I want that guy in the room. That's definitely a, you know, maybe a higher floor guy to bet on in theory that, you know, like he, at the very least, he's going to go out there and bust his butt on special teams and play really hard for the 7 snaps a game on defense you need him. And like, yep. There are worse guys to have than a guy who has that kind of passion. And, you know, also, what does he do to the rest of the room of, you know, the star player can never slack off because there's that guy fighting for his life, you know, just trying every single snap and paying, asking good questions in meetings and all that kind of stuff.
And I was talking to Fred about this, too. And it's like, ultimately, what you're trying to find is people that love football. And yeah. To me, when I watch him play, when I see his kind of interviews, like, dude loves ball. So, like, I'm going to take a bet on that guy. So, like, does he move up my list? Yeah, but is he still in that range of like,
you know, we're still talking a 5th, 6th, 7th rounder for sure.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. For sure. 100%. In terms of first rounder, next question comes from Timoth 78. Hello, Timoth. who are the sprint to the podium prospects for you at 29? We've done we've almost answered this like haphazardly shotgun style. Sure, we've done different mock drafts and it's like, oh, if that guy's on the board. So let's consolidate some of our answers in one place here. Guys that theoretically could be available at 29 because they drop for one reason or another that you're like, oh, hell yeah, let's go. Yeah. No thinking about it. We're not going to waste time. We're past midnight and it's time to make a draft pick. Let's get this done.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we want to start an edge rusher, like obviously Mike Green, I don't think there's, the more I watch him, the less likely I think this is, unless the off-field stuff is just dramatic. You know what I mean? Like
the only question. Like, I feel like that is the more you watch him and the more everyone watch him, that's the narrative on him is like, if he drops, it's going to be because 25 teams have him off the board for off-field stuff, not because of anything that's on tape or in the athletic testing.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I don't think that happens, honestly. The next one would be Donovan Ezuraku, you know, from Boston College. Like he can rush the passer. Like he can just rush the passer at a really high level. He's kind of, to me, he's got like the perfect build for it. He's like 6'2", he's like 250, he's got 34-inch arms, and his bag is so deep. You know, he's a little bit undersized versus the run, which again might throw some teams off. But I think he really comps well. And Jeremy said this, and I've heard other people say this too, to Nick Benito, a guy that's a little undersized, but just has the juice. And like I had a coach tell me one time, is if there's any sign of juice, like with a pass rusher, you got to jump on it. And he's got it, you know, and he just is this. And I think about what the Commanders need and him at 29. I don't know. The more I watch him as a pass rusher, like I think I got thrown off early on because he's just okay against the run, but like as a pass rusher, he just brings this tremendous trump card to the table and tremendous nuance to the position. The other guy at edge would be like Nick Scorton. I'm a big Landon Jackson guy. The more I watch him, and again, I would die if Landon Jackson was a Commander, but he feels more like a high to mid second round pick. Nick Scorton's a guy that I think actually could be there at 29. Like he just plays so hard. He's physically
violent.
Is
he in the sprint to the podium category though?
Because of how he plays, you know what I mean? Like he just plays hard. And when you watch his 2023 tape, he's 11 sacks and they're good sacks. Like he's got a deep bag. And so like, I think you couple the physicality, the mindset, kind of the every down intensity he brings with the pass rush upside. I feel pretty good about that. So those are like the three names that to me come to mind. And as edge rushers, and everyone's going to ask me about James Pierce Jr. Like, I think James Pierce Jr., if he was a Commander, I'd be really excited because I trust the staff. But when I watch the film, like, I don't think he has top shelf bend. He's got top shelf get off and he's got top shelf like physicality. But you need someone that's going to like make him the best version of himself. And I trust the Commanders to do that. But I would definitely take those three guys right now above him. And that's not, that sounds like I'm being like mean to James Pierce.
That's the reality of it.
I just prefer your board those other three guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
and the other thing, he's got off-field stuff too, so you'd have to trust the staff on that part of it as well. Is there anybody in the pass catcher category, and I'm specifically phrasing this as pass catcher because I know one of your guys is Colson Loveland, that if somehow he gets past the Chargers in a reunion with Harbaugh at 22 and he falls all the way down, that he's a run to the podium guy for you. But who else in the pass catcher category?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he for sure is. Like, if he was there, like, I it would be hard pressed. Like, him and Mike Green are there. Like, it's like Sophie's choice. You know what I mean? Like, who are you going to pick? Because I think Colson Loveland, I don't know, I think he could be special like this year. Kind of like, you know, I went back and watched Brock Bowers just to kind of refresh my memory. Like, and from a route running standpoint, I think he's, this is, everyone just take a deep breath as I'm talking here. I think he's a better route runner than Brock Bowers, but Brock Bowers was a more special prospect because of what he did with the ball in his hands. Like, I've never seen a tight end catch the football the way he did and then just break tackles and make people look silly. So, like, just to give you some context there, like, I think he's in that kind of group. Obviously,
really special route runner, catcher of the football, gets open, reliable.
Like, body control, like, he's tough. Like, I was watching a game last night where his shoulder, he pops his shoulder out of his socket and then comes back in and tries to play the rest of the game. Like, I just love that type of stuff. Like, you love ball, I love ball. So, yeah, Colson Loveland, obviously, like, this is like total pipe dream, but like Ashton Jeanty, you know, if he's available for like, it's not going to happen, but that would be an interesting one. I like Tetro McMillan a lot. You know, he's not going to fall to 29, but we're talking just, you know, perfect world, perfect scenario. And same thing with the defensive line. If Shamar Stewart by some kind of miracle,
Jalen Walker, like we talked about with Jeremy.
Like those guys are, I don't think they're going to be there, but if they are, you run them in. Cause I think they could be difference makers. But the other one that's interesting to me, and the more I watch him, the more I kind of like, I'm like, oh man, this guy could be a really good pro, is Emeka Nbuka from Ohio State. Yeah. And I think there's a real chance he's there. And am I running it in? But he kind of falls in that Nick Scorton category where the more I watch him, the more I like him as a route runner, the more I like him as a blocker, the more I like him as a professional NFL wide receiver.
He just does everything well.
Correct.
And you're waiting for, he's one of the guys that I've spent a little time with. And like, at first I'm just like, this is fine. And then you realize that like, it's every snap is the same quality. No matter what you route running, doesn't matter the route, doesn't matter. Like he catches the football reliably. He blocks, he's physical. There's nothing that pops. There's no, like, I'm sure when you went back and watched Terry at Ohio State, there's a couple of plays. I remember some of the highlights of watching him after they drafted him being like, let's see what this kid's all about. Right. And you like, oh, this kid just ran 80 yards away from everybody. Like that's pretty neat. Igbuka's not going to do that. But like he'll have 8 catches for 78 yards and 6 of them will be for first downs. And he'll have a key block on somebody else and this and that. And so, he's a like weird prospect, but I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah, tremendously high floor. And I think that's awesome. Matthew Golden, I like a lot. He reminds me a little bit of like AB, just from like a change of direction, route running. Like he can kind of do everything. And again, I think he probably goes higher. You know, like when you hear about like Steve Smith, for example, did his receiver rankings recently and had him ahead of Tetro McMillan. And
that's happening more and more too. There's other people that also like that.
The thing about Matthew Golden is I don't feel the speed from him.
Yeah.
Like I
feel also that stat Jeremy gave us scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah. So again, like he's interesting, but I'm becoming more of a Mecca Buka guy the more I watch him. So to answer your question, and then the other one I would just throw in this bucket of like offense
sprint to the podium. Yeah.
Yeah. Is Omarion Hampton. Like he's not Ashton Jeanty and I'm not a big take your running back in the first round, but the more I watch, he's not there yet. He's not the Colson Loveland and Emeka Nbuka. He's not in that category for me yet. But the more I watch him, the more I'm like, he could be a difference maker in an offense. So those are some names offensively that I think are interesting. Obviously, I still am really high on Josh Simmons. Like, you know, like I heard that the injury is okay. I heard his interviews were just okay. Like, but the tape, if we're just talking about the tape for me, like it's really good tape. And he could be like a franchise left tackle. So I know we have one, but if you were to play right and then Coleman play, like
if you want to Tristan Wirfs it and have Tunsil play left tackle for 3 years and then Josh Simmons becomes an all pro at right tackle and then flips over to the left and does that, like that's, I mean, Wirfs, chances you're going to redo that very slim because Wirfs is the first guy to ever be an all pro on both sides of the line at tackle. But like the idea of going right tackle to left tackle and being good at both is not unheard of. Any of the DBs sprint to the podium, or is it kind of like, hey, if everybody else goes and we're going to get the Will Johnson, non Travis Hunter, next best DB on the board, like we'll take them. But is there anybody corner or safety that you sprint?
It's actually the two safeties for me, Malachi
Emanuori and
Starks. Yeah. Like, and I don't think either one of them is going to be there. Like, yeah. But Malachi Starks is, Jahaide Barron's probably like in contention for this title.
I should have mentioned
like
him as the
best football player, you know, of the, just football player. Like when I watch Malachi Starks, like he tackles well, he takes good angles, he can play man coverage. Like I just like this is, I heard a defensive coordinator say he's the safest pick in the draft. And the more I watch him, the more I'm just like, his floor is just sky high. Like he's gonna be a good pro. And then if you're trying to swing for the fences, like Nick Amonwori, like I don't love his tackling all the time, but like I'll be damned if he just shows you something just magical every once in a while, and you're just like, you know. So like those two guys for me, and then obviously Jahaide Barron, but I think he's a top 15 pick. But like you know what I'm saying, like those are the three.
And Amonwori and Starks might be, but they also might be available for Washington at the end of the first round. So that's kind of the crux of the question. The physical tools are outrageous. One of the craziest raw athletes we've ever seen. But also I've heard Dane talk about his teammates just raving about his mental side and the plays he makes and his understanding of coverage and all that kind of stuff. So that's something that I think is worth tagging for a guy that's kind of put out there as a physical freak. Like his mental game's pretty strong too.
Yeah, and I don't know if that answers the question, but I know we talked about a lot of guys, but it feels like we kind of touched on them. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think
there's some guys we're excited about.
Question answered. One of those guys, please be available 29.